This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. As we speak, our brothers and sisters in Libya and in Morocco are experiencing unimaginable pain and anguish. As you probably know, nearly 3,000 people have perished in the earthquake that first struck Morocco, and close to 20,000 have either died or are missing due to the massive floods in Libya. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. These are staggering numbers. And of course, earlier this year, over 55 or close to 55,000 people lost their lives in the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His mercy and His forgiveness upon those who have perished. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to heal the injuries of those who have survived, and to mend the hearts of those who are grieving and are traumatized. SubhanAllah, I think the scope and the magnitude of such disasters is hard to appreciate, right? Because first, you know, we talk about the lives that have been lost. We talk about those who are injured. And on top of that, you know, on top of all of that pain and that suffering, there is the trauma, right, and the psychological impact of losing, in many cases, you know, tens of family members, entire families, entire extended families, right, homes, businesses, vehicles, property, you know, streets, neighborhoods. SubhanAllah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for everyone who has been affected. See, my brothers and sisters, the pain, the grief, the helplessness is something that we should all feel, because as we know, we are as one ummah, like one body. And as a result, we have a responsibility, as the Prophet ﷺ has told us, to respond as well. And the first thing that we respond with, of course, is dua, right? Because dua is something that does not require us to be in a specific place. It does not require us to have any particular resources. It does not require us to fulfill any particular requirements. Dua is our plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can make at any moment, at any time, in any way, with any words. And of course, it must come from the heart, right? So whenever we hear about such tragedies, or any calamity for that matter, right, our response always should be, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then we make a dua, you know, in our hearts, out loud, we whisper it as we wish to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are impacted by such calamities. It was reported that when there was an earthquake, the Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, he would write to his governors telling them to give in charity, right? And this is another way that we are also called upon to respond, right? Of course, with dua, with feeling in our hearts, but also respond in tangible ways with whatever support that we can offer, and with moral support through words and deeds. So inshallah, today's collection at the masjid, this Friday inshallah, will be going towards disaster relief in Libya and Morocco inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Please do give generously. When we think about the victims, and we think about, you know, how such calamities play out, right, it is indeed heartbreaking and really unimaginable, right? When you think about, you know, people who are particularly inside of homes, inside of buildings that collapse, when you think about tidal waves, you know, 7 meters high, tsunami coming in, essentially something like a tsunami or similar to a tsunami, sweeping in over a city, catching people off guard, right? It is just unimaginable. And no one can fully understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But of course, as human beings, we may wonder about it. And this is something which, you know, is natural, that these thoughts can sometimes come to us. Of course, we accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed in control. And these these calamities that come indeed come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah knows best, you know, as to His wisdom, His divine wisdom, but we have been taught, you know, a few things. So first of all, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the martyrs are of five kinds. That the shuhada are of five categories, right? One who dies of a plague. A person who is the victim of a plague is counted from amongst the shuhada, is a shaheed. One who dies of a disease of the belly, right, of the stomach, is a shaheed. The Prophet ﷺ has told us. The person who drowns is counted as a shaheed. And the one who dies under debris is also counted as a shaheed, right? So a person who drowns, regardless of the method of the drowning, regardless of the circumstances of the drowning, if a person happens to die through drowning, then inshallah they'll be counted as a shaheed. Similarly, one who dies under debris, right? Regardless of what type of debris it is, of course in earthquakes, normally when people lose their lives, it's due to debris falling upon them. So they are also counted from amongst the shuhada, and of course the martyrs in the Allah's cause, وَالشَّهِيدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the Prophet ﷺ said, and those who are the martyrs, the shuhada, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these categories, these five categories of people, we are told, are counted as shuhada, and inshallah they will receive the same reward, right? The same reception, inshallah, the same treatment in the afterlife as a person would for losing their lives, fi sabilillah, inshallah. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, we know that the mu'mineen, the believers, are tested, right? And believing is not a shield against tests. Believing is not meant to be a shield against tests. Rather, the tests tend to increase as a person's iman rises, right? As we read in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the second juz, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or do you think that you will enter Jannah? أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ, do you think, أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ, that you will enter Jannah, enter paradise, without such trials as came to those who passed away before you. Right? And what was their state? They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments and were so shaken, right, that even, and wazulzilu, and the scholars mention here that it's not necessarily like physical earthquakes, but they were so shaken, right, because of the circumstances, whatever the circumstances and the trials were, they were so shaken by those circumstances and those trials that even the messenger and those who believed along with him said, when will the help of Allah come? Mata nasrullah. Right? When will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? So they didn't doubt the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? They didn't say, where is the help of Allah? But rather they said, when will come the help of Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and says, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ, that yes, certainly the help of Allah is near. Right? So for the believers, for the people who will enter Jannah, right, it is not unexpected that they will go through hardships, they will go through trials and tribulations as the people of the past have also gone through. And it is not unexpected that they will look for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures them and says that indeed the help of Allah is near. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu reported that, I said, O Messenger of Allah, which people are tested most severely? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are the prophets, then the next best, and then the next best. A man is put to trial according to his religion. If he is firm in his religion, his trials will be more severe. If he is weak in his religion, he is put to trial according to his strength in religion. The servant will continue to be put to trial until he is left walking upon the earth without any sin. So my brothers and sisters, we learn a few things here. Right? First of all, the degree of the trial will be in relation, will be proportionate to the level of a person's iman, right? This is for the believers, right? So for the believers, the trials will be according to the level of strength of their iman, right? The level of their religion. If the more firm a person is in the religion, then the test is also going to be more severe, right? And the weaker a person is in the religion, then their test will be according to the weakness or whatever level of strength is of their religion. And a person, so that's the first thing we learned. The second thing we learned is that a person will continue to be put through, a believer will continue to be put through trials until he is left or she is left walking upon the earth without any sin. So what does this tell us? That these trials and tribulations, provided that our response is correct, are actually a form of spiritual purification as well. What are they? They are a form of spiritual purification because there is no hardship, there is no pain, there is no worry, there is no anxiety that a person goes through, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, even the pricking of a thorn, except that it gives a believer spiritual purification. It forgives, it leads to the forgiving of a person's sins. So whenever such calamities occur, indeed, and of course they are difficult, but let us remember that the severity and the degree of the difficulty will also be linked to the degree of forgiveness, inshallah, and the degree of the reward that will come from bearing such hardships. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should seek hardships. We are not instructed to seek hardships. We are instructed to seek ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are asked to seek afiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? To seek goodness, to seek wellness, to seek peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if Allah azza wa jal decides for us to go through these trials and tribulations, we are to try to look at it as positively as possible and to understand that even then we do have something to gain, even though we may have suffered great losses, great apparent losses. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, as related by Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, that ummati hadhihi ummatun marhuma laysa alayha adhabun fil akhirah adhabuha fid dunya al fitan wal zalazil wal qatl. That this nation of mine, this ummah of mine, has been granted mercy, is the recipient of mercy, marhuma. Laysa alayha adhab. Their punishment, adhabun fil akhirah, adhabuha fid dunya. Their punishment is in this world, right? Their punishment is not in the hereafter. The punishment is in this world through fitan, to trials and persecution, earthquakes and slaughter. Meaning that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish people within this ummah, and it's not necessary that it is going to be punishment, right? It could be a trial as well. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that He is going to punish us, then He will put us through pain and punishment in this world as opposed to the hereafter. And this is also a form of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person is going to get, you know, is going to bear the consequences of actions anyway, if a person is going to bear, is going to be made to bear the consequences of their actions, meaning they're going to be punished, is it better to be punished in this world or is it better to be punished in the hereafter? Of course, the punishment of this world is much less severe than whatever, than any punishment of the hereafter. Right? So if a person is going to be punished anyway, and this is up to the decision and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen for this ummah in this world as opposed to the hereafter, and that also is a form of mercy. However, we must be careful to understand that we don't categorize every single calamity and every single victim as being, al-'iyadhu billah, receiving the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we also just learned earlier that it is also a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And we don't get to decide, you know, what is punishment and what is a test. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. And as many of the scholars tell us, that it also depends on how a person responds. If a person's response to a calamity is one that brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they seek the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they try to rectify their ways, and they have introspection, right? Then that is, you know, a type of mercy for them because, you know, it's a trial that has brought them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas a punishment is the same trial, the same calamity, but it drives a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And a person does not return to Allah Azza wa Jal and does not take heed from it and continues down their path, then that could be seen as a type of punishment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet ﷺ has also said that if a certain status has previously been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person, إِنَ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا سَبَقَتْ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَهِ لَمْ يَبْلُغْهَا بِعَمَلِهِ إِبْتَلَاهُ اللَّهُ فِي جَسَدِهِ أَوْ فِي مَالِهِ أَوْ فِي وَلَدِهِ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed a certain status and certain position for a person, and he does not attain it by his deeds, right? So Allah has said he's going to reach this level, but his actions are not taking him to that point, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will afflict him, may afflict him in his body or wealth or children, and because of bearing those trials, his status will be elevated and he will reach the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed, and Allah knows best. The Prophet ﷺ has also reported to have said that great reward comes with great trials. When Allah loves a people, He tests them. إِنَّ عَظَمَ الْجَزَاءِ مَا عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا حَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a people, He tests them, and whoever accepts it attains His pleasure. Whoever accepts it attains His pleasure, whereas whoever shows discontent with it incurs His wrath. And subhanAllah, you know, one of the things that really stands out is that when we look at, you know, such calamities, and especially when they affect the believers, right, you would think that the believers would lose hope. You would think that the believers would lose their faith. But instead, we don't see that happening generally, right? It's the opposite. They are granted more strength and conviction in their faith when they are faced with these hardships, these calamities, and these disasters, right? So this is something, you know, beautiful that we find within this ummah, and especially, you know, in countries where there are a large number of Muslims, mashallah, that it doesn't affect their faith in this way. Whereas the people who are watching, right, the ones who are not the direct victims, right, sometimes they are the ones, right, because they have such ideas in their minds that they start questioning their faith, right? So it should, you know, give us strength in knowing that such trials and such tribulations can indeed be a sign of strength and faith. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Do not resent the calamities that come and the disasters that occur. Do not resent the calamities that come and the disasters that occur. Why? For perhaps in something that you dislike will be your salvation. For perhaps in something that you dislike will be your salvation. And perhaps in something that you prefer will be your doom." Perhaps something that you dislike will actually be a means of your salvation. And something that you prefer, perhaps may be that which causes your doom. And Al-Fadl ibn Sahl, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "There is a blessing in calamity that the wise man should not ignore. For it erases sins. It gives one the opportunity to attain the reward of patience. It dispels negligence. It reminds one of the blessings at the time of health and calls one to repent and encourages one to give charity." So once again, you see the scholars of this ummah trying to find, you know, looking for the silver lining. So when they see a calamity occur, indeed it is heartbreaking. Indeed it is tragic, and there is absolutely no denying that. But at the same time, the believer spiritually looks for the silver lining as to the response that comes from such calamities and such disasters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. My brothers and sisters, very quickly, such calamities should have an effect on us as believers, even if we are thousands of kilometers away. Even if we don't know anyone in Libya, in Morocco, in Turkey, in Syria, or anywhere else where such tragedies and disasters have occurred, it should, all of these events, regardless of where they are, should have an effect on us as believers. Number one, it should humble us, right? Because it reminds us of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It reminds us of human weakness and human fragility. Number two, it should cause us to repent, because we know that such natural disasters are jolts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are meant to wake us up, that are meant to, you know, take us out of our distracted state. And they should, as a result, make us repent and reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, my brothers and sisters, there should be introspection, that where are we going wrong? You know, what is the lesson in this? You know, what could be the lesson here for me, for society, for the entire ummah, with regards to our actions, with regards to our attitudes, with regards to our beliefs in our actions? Particularly, you know, the effects of corruption and infighting that are so common in, you know, many of our communities in many parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Number four, my brothers and sisters, recognizing the blessings in the absence of the disasters, right? So we recognize the blessings after we have lost them in many cases, right? So this should make us think about the blessings that we currently enjoy when there is no disaster, right? For example, you know, the blessing of water, which of course we need for life, in measured quantities, right? SubhanAllah, that same water that we cannot live without, you know, look at the tremendous devastation it can cause when there's too much of it, right? So to have it in measured quantities is indeed a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The stability of the ground, right, when it's not shaking, is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we become more grateful. And finally, it reminds us of the Day of Judgment, my brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth is shaken with its final earthquake, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas burst forth, you know, on the Day of Judgment, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, O humanity, fear your Lord, for the violent quaking, shaking at the hour is surely a dreadful thing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to all of our brothers and sisters who are impacted by these calamities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate their ranks and to ease their pain and suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive each member, every single member of this ummah, including us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us out of our weak state and our distant state, and to make us people who are truly His servants, protected from such trials and tribulations. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Take a quick